Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Good morning and welcome into the house of the Lord. God is so good and God is so faithful through all of our years, through everything we go through. He's here with us and he is a faithful God. Okay, we have something very special this morning that is going to be a surprise to at least one person standing at the back. But I would ask that you would all rise. We have a renewal of our vows this morning. So would you all please rise? You may be seated now. Vanessa, would you face Matt? Matt, would you face Vanessa? Matt, I have a couple of questions that I would like to ask you this morning. After 46 years of laughter and tears, good times and times of sorrow, do you take Vanessa to be your beloved wife? Do you promise to be faithful to her and her alone through all the rest of your days? Do you promise to love her for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health, until you are called home to be with the Lord? Vanessa, I have a couple questions for you to answer, please. After 46 years of living with Matt, through laughter and tears, good times and times of sorrow, do you once again take Matt to be your husband? Do you promise to be faithful to him and him alone through the rest of your days here on earth? Do you promise to love him, be faithful to him in sickness and in health, for better, for worse, in richer or poorer, until you are called home to be with God? Inasmuch as the two of you have come here at the altar of God today, and you have vowed to continue in faith, faithfully loving one another through all of the seasons of life, I now pronounce that you are husband and wife, and Matt, you can take it from here and kiss your bride. Congratulations to the new bride and groom. Hallelujah. God is good. He is a faithful God. Vanessa did not know that would take place. Matt texted me early this morning and asked me if we could make that happen. And they are, once again, husband and wife. Too bad she didn't have time to register at Target and all those places. You know, ladies, we're going to have to give a shower. Yep. Oh, Ken said, he called it. He said she'll say something about I didn't get the dress or my hair or something. He called it. He nailed it. So I'm going to grab my props.
Yeah, it was a big risk, Matt. You know, she might have said no. That was really sweet, though. You know, the whole time I've been at the church, and I think everyone feels this way, both of you are an example of what a loving marriage is all about. You really are. You have been to all of us, and we appreciate that very much. Amen.
It's so good. We're going to do a very quick little study here, if it's okay with all of you, because it's very powerful. I don't know how many of you know that today is September 25th, but that this is a very significant day in history. Today is Rosh Hashanah. It is the Jewish New Year, and it begins today at sundown and lasts through Tuesday, the celebration of. But it requires 10 days of repentance and reflection. And it's important to us. here's what I would like to say. What if we took 10 days to reflect on all that God has done for us and to repent of the times that we missed the mark? I think that our lives and our hearts would be considerably changed forever. And what if we made a purpose to turn away and to forsake all the things of the past, all forms of wickedness, even a hint at wrong? And I want to tell you why, as I've been studying the Jewish holidays, why I particularly love Rosh Hashanah. Because God is the God of new beginnings and second chances. And Rosh Hashanah actually means something in Hebrew that's so interesting. It means the head of the year. And I personally like this. To Jewish people, it just means this is their beginning of their new year. But the correct Hebrew translation is head of the year. And you know where I'm going with this, right? I love this. What would happen to us if we would make God head of our year? And we started in January and we said, this is our new year. Well, here we are again. And I love something because most Jewish people call this a day of reset. And I have a friend who's been telling me about the reset. We're doing a reset. And I love that word. And during Rosh Hashanah, they do something very interesting. That's why I brought my props. They take apples. I have an apple. And they take honey. And they dip the apple in the honey, symbolic of may you be fruitful this year. And may you live a sweet and blessed life. May you be fruitful and may you be sweet this year. It's symbolic of the sweetness of God when we put him at the head of our lives every time. And without God, the opposite is true. There is no sweetness. There is no fruitfulness in our life without God. And when Jewish people meet on these days to come, what they say to each other is Shana Tova. And it means have a good year, have a God year, have a sweet year, and have a year filled with inspiration that comes from the Holy Spirit. And then they say, here's an apple and some honey for you as a reminder. And I just thought that would be such a great way to open our service because we're going to be talking about never settle for any less than God's best. That in Song of Solomon, it talks about the apple of his eye, that we are the apple. And I never understood that means that we are to be fruitful. Fruitfulness, sweetness. Nobody likes a bitter person, do they? Nobody wants to. Do you want to eat bitter fruit or would you rather eat this? I don't like lemons in particular unless they have sugar on them. But thank God. And I want to be the apple of his eye. So we're actually going to be sharing a message this morning that is one we did like 6 years ago, never settle for less than God's best. Do you want to start it off?
Sure. So first of all, I really enjoyed the worship this morning. I know I always say it, but it was really powerful this morning. When we were singing Draw Me Close to You, that line of that song always gets me, that I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. What a powerful thought, that we lay our life down just to hear God say, you're my friend. So part of what we're going to be looking at is the open doors. And I just wanted to read from Revelation 4:1, which I call this heaven's webcam. You know how there's webcams? You can look at the zoo and see what's happening. You can look at highways. There's webcams all over the world. So if you ever want to know, is heaven still open? Just go to Revelation 4:1 and you're connected to heaven's webcam. And this is what John says. And I looked, and behold, a door was standing open in heaven. And the voice which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place. So at least as of today, Sunday, September 20, what's the date? 25th. At least as of right now, as I read that verse, heaven's webcam is showing that all is well in heaven. So praise God, our home is still there.
It's so true, and I believe that this is a word for anybody who's been praying for a breakthrough in their life. It's a powerful word if you really even think about the title, never settle for anything less than God's best. And here's the thing, how many times have we settled? And I've said this before, and you've heard me say this probably several times, the reason we go to McDonald's is because we're too lazy. It's because we're settling for something that's less than the best, that we won't take the time to go home and cook the steak or do what we need. But we spiritually, we do it all the time. And it takes us being willing to release our hold on anything or anyone who God's removed from our life to free ourselves from the past and all the hurts and the failures. They have to go. You know, I heard a message by Sarah Jakes and revamped it a little bit. It said this, everything must go. And talking about at stores, they will have end of the year sales and you'll see it and they'll say, everything must go and everything's discounted. You know what? That's because that stuff wasn't worth selling. And they're just almost giving it away. Everything must go. But why does everything need to go? The bad stuff. Let me help you out with that. It needs to go because God wants to send you the good stuff. God wants to give you blessings in your life. So you got to, everything must go. All of that junk must go. And I spoke several years ago, going to do again in February, at a conference called the Dream Conference. And here's what I told them, and it based it on Joseph the Dreamer. You know, we think about, you know, our dreams, and I want to say it like this. God is not preparing a dream for you, though he has one for you. He's preparing you to receive what he has for you. He's preparing you for the dream, not the dream for you, because his dreams are about other people and souls and the kingdom. And so I always have said, do not pursue the dream that you have in your heart. Pursue the one who gave the dream, and you'll get it right every single time. I know that God wants to bless you. I know that without a doubt. He says, I know the plans I have for you. They are for good and not for evil. And here's the thing. The word plans means the dreams, and it also means something else. The thoughts I have towards you and the plans I have for you and the dreams I have for you, they're all for good. None of them are to hurt you in any way. So if you've been hurt, it is not God. That was not God's plan for you. He wants to bless you. And so often, Ken, I think that what happens is we're so used to abnormal being our normal that we think it can't be any other way, that we're always going to be living in this struggle, Ken. Is it ever going to be over, the struggle, when God has got blessings for us? And we get so used to the familiar that we don't step out in faith and say, God, I'm ready to receive your blessing. Now, I'm going to read Revelation 3:8 before I hand this back to Pastor Ken. And here's what Revelation 3:8 says. I know your deeds. Do you know God knows all about us? He knows what you do. See, open your eyes. When it says see, it doesn't mean with your physical eyes. It means open the eyes of your heart and see that I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength. You know what? I'm glad God knows that, because I know it too. I have little strength. But you have kept my word, and you have not denied my name. None of us here have denied his name. And that means that he has set before us an open door. And I can tell you, not only can no man shut that door, it says that the real translation is that, look at it, that some people say that no man can shut. The translation is actually that no one can shut. Why is it no one and not no man? Because no devil, no demon in hell can shut that door. Because how many of you would say, the devil has tried to shut the door in my face, but he can't do it, because God has a door for you to step through, a blessing. I promise you that.
And God creates the doors, and he opens the doors. And so you know you can walk through those doors. The reason I say that is we often kick down doors that God never meant us to go into. That we want something so bad, and God will take his hands off. If you want to kick down a door, God will let you. But it's usually a door you don't belong in, and you usually get trapped in there. But okay, so God has an open door that he's going to create, and he's going to open. So I want to ask you today, what's on the other side of the door that God is opening in your life? What do you think's on the other side? I'll give you some hints. Jacob saw that door. He saw a ladder that went all the way up to heaven, which was an open door. Which, by the way, it's kind of interesting that in Revelation, when it talks about the open door, it says come up. So it's still that ladder picture. You climb up, you ascend to the door. So Jacob saw it, and in Revelation, John saw it. He saw an open door that God had created. So the answer to the question of what's on the other side of the door, let me ask you another question. What is the desire of your heart? What are the dreams that God's put in your heart? Because quite frankly, we can live out of our five senses and we're basically living like animals. Just what you see, what you hear, what you taste, what you feel, all those things is living out of your five senses. But I'm here to tell you, there is a spiritual world we should be walking and living and moving in and out of. You should be moving in and out of heavenly places. You should be asking the Holy Spirit for that discernment. And that's the thing that if I could disagree with God about one thing, I would tell the Holy Spirit, could you turn up that voice? Could you make the Holy Spirit a lot louder? But it's such a small voice. I have had to come to learn that. You have to be so sensitive or you'll miss it. The things of the world will drown out what the Holy Spirit is saying. By the way, if you ever hear the Holy Spirit's voice loud, it is serious. Get out, get out, get out. Don't go there. Don't do that. No, no. I mean, sometimes it is that loud. But that is also the word in you that we know things. So God's timing is everything. God creating doors of opportunity, doors of blessing that lead to blessing, doors that will just help other people, the dreams that God is going to plant in your life. I was thinking about relationships with other people, that we are the light of the world. And think of this thought, because we always get annoyed at other people. When you talk to people, what they're mad about is other people, what other people are doing or not doing. If it wasn't for other people, you would have no reason to be on this earth. If you were the only one here, what would your ministry be? The reason we're here is to bring other people into the kingdom and to demonstrate to others the love of God. To demonstrate when people know the hard times you go through, when they know the heartache and the heartbreak you go through, and then they look at you and they see you raising your hand saying, oh God, I love you so much. Boy, that causes God to smile. Believe me, anyone can serve God during prosperous times. But when it's hard times and you say, I shall not be moved, God is the love of my life. Boy, Satan doesn't understand it, but God sure appreciates it.
It's so true. And we're not settling for less. We need to understand something, that if it's not from God and it's not real, you shouldn't seek it or want it. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added unto you. Not go get what you want and then choose to seek God. Let's make first things first. He's the priority. The reason Matt and Vanessa are married for 46 years is because they put God first, not because they put themselves or selfish desires first. Because legitimate promotion, opportunity, and blessing always comes from God and God alone if it's legitimate. And when we talk about settling for less than God's best, it's even worse than that. You're not just settling, well, I'll take an orange instead of an apple. When you're settling for less than God's best, likely you're settling for something straight out of hell, the pit of hell itself, and something the enemy has sent to you and just prepackaged very nicely. You know, I read that story, Ken, about the girl that the guy had killed his girlfriend and he was in prison, but there's someone in prison, well, and Scott Peterson's one of those who people are wanting to date like crazy. And, you know, you get engaged to somebody in prison and she thinks that when he gets out, they're going to live happily ever after. And I know that they're definitely not going to live up. She may not even live, period. But they're not going to live happily ever after for sure, because that's not God. But how many times are we guilty of settling for something the enemy has sent to us that's prepackaged? And I want to tell you that God is not just the giver of dreams. He's the fulfiller of dreams. Do you know that Joseph, when he was in the pit, that dream was in the pit with him because it was in his heart? If God is in my heart, it doesn't really matter, does it, if I'm in the fiery furnace or if I'm in the pit, because I'm with God wherever I go, whatever problem I'm going through. And there are people, and it's okay to say, you know, Lord, bless me. There's a song out by Maverick City that I just love, and Dave loves it. He was playing it yesterday. Bless me, bless me, bless me, Lord, indeed. Let all these folks with that's with me have everything they need. Because you know why? Because the reason that I should pray for blessing is so that I can bless all these folks that's with me have everything they need too. So it's okay to desire prosperity. But if you don't get it from the Lord, I know people who kick the doors down to get prosperity. There are people, you know, if you say, well, I am wealthy. I can help all of you with the money I sold the cocaine for yesterday. I'm going to help all of you. I'll get you new cars and everything. Is that God's prosperity and blessing? No. Visit me in prison. But God does want to prosper and bless us. Let me prove it to you. 3 John 2:2. Beloved, which really translates my beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. As your soul prospers, I want you to prosper in all the other areas of your life. Any good father, listen to me carefully, wants their children to prosper and do well in life. No good father wants their children to fall or fail. No good father would ever send a child cancer, put their child hand on a hot iron. God is for you and not against you. Everything God has in your future is good if you will receive it. But watch this. The key that unlocks the door to God's salvation is a free gift. Anyone can receive salvation. You can all go to heaven. You will not all necessarily be blessed because obedience is the key to receiving blessings from the Lord. But I want to talk to you real quickly about a man who was blessed in the Bible. He kind of blew it too, by the way. 2 Chronicles 1:7. That night God appeared to Solomon and he said to him, ask for whatever you want me to give you. The first thing Solomon did was to honor God for what God had already done. For he said to God in verse 8, you have shown great kindness to David my father, and you have made me king in his palace. If you want something from the Lord, I say that you need to go ahead and bless him for what you already have and the kindness he's already shown you. Now, Lord God, let your promise to my father David be confirmed, for you have made me king over a people that are as numerous as the dust of the earth. And Lord, give me wisdom and understanding, a compassionate heart, so that I can lead these people. For who is able to lead this great people of yours? Solomon asked for something that would honor God, and God was so pleased that he actually gave him more. Do you know that when we please God, God will give you more, that he's not just the God of just enough, almost enough, but he is the God of more than enough. But you are responsible to steward. If my father was to give me, and I've done this with my children, I've given them gifts and things before they could handle that. And you know what? They became wasteful. And that's how a good father does. He knows when to give the gift. So if you think God hasn't done something in your life, maybe it's timing. We need to get some things in order first in order to receive the gift.
One of the questions we have to ask is, what is it? When God asks us, what do we want, what's our actual answer? It was God who opened up doors for Solomon and so many other people. It was God that shut the lion's mouth, so I guess he can shut doors that need to be shut also. Some doors that you're in, you just need to walk out of. And that's amazing how we can, by making a decision, turn things around so quickly. You know, you go, oh, I can't turn around. Yeah, you do. Like I said, if you were going to downtown Chicago and the sign said 55 South St. Louis, say, I'll just stay on this road a little while longer and see. You have to turn around. You have to be heading 55 North. You know this. When it says 55 South, that's, you're just going the wrong way and it will never work out. The Red Sea, think of the Red Sea. There was no escape. And think of your life as a type of Red Sea. No matter how bad things get, God not only will open a door, but watch this. He'll create a door where there isn't a door. There's no door there. There's a Red Sea. God said, not only will I make a door, I'll make a corridor. Right? They went all the way through where there was no place. And whatever dungeon you feel like you were in, God will create a door to the secret place. You always have access to the secret place. That's one of the things that no one can take away from you. They could take away your freedom. They could take away your Bible. They could put you in a dungeon, and you can still go into the secret place, which is open to God. And if we honor God with our life, and if He is the desire of our life and not selfish ambition, the idea of humility in realizing that we are not better than anyone, that we are servants of God and servants of others. And if we won't serve God when we are blessed, we will definitely not serve God when we're not blessed. But God opens doors to the homeless. He opens doors to those that are discouraged, those that have nothing, those that have nobody. To the Mephibosheths of the world that are hiding, He opens doors. To the people that were in debt, He opened doors. Think of Esther in the Bible. Here's an orphan girl. She's lost both of her parents. She's living with her cousin. I've got to think that in her mind she's thinking, nothing good could ever happen to me. But because she was obedient, because she had the heart of a servant, God not opened the door, but it opened the door for her to become a queen. And it had to make her head spin how quick things happened. But when she was queen, she had another open door. There was a need for her to save the life of her people. She had to go and just go to where the king was without an appointment. That's a closed door. You can't just go blasting into the king without an invitation. So she went anyway. And that's really a picture of us. That Holy of Holies is not a public place. It is the most exclusive place in the universe. It is the place where God resides. And you want to know what happens when you trespass? Just look at the Old Testament. Right? God wasn't playing around. The high priest can go in once a year. Everybody else, you die. It's a holy place. So you say, well, let's stay away from there. But we read that on the cross of Jesus Christ, that the veil of the temple was ripped in two, that the door was open. And the Bible, and in case you're not clear on that, the Bible tells us to come boldly. Come boldly. Right before the throne, right into the throne room. Why was Esther able to go to the forbidden place? Because the king loved her. Why are you able to go to the forbidden place? Because the king loves you. And he said to her, ask anything. Ask whatever you want. And as you know the story, she actually asked for two things different times, but she wanted the lives of her people, which think of that. She didn't say, I need a new Lexus. She said, my heart is for my people. Like I said to you, if it weren't for other people, why would we be here? So she had a heart for the lost, just like the Good Samaritan had a heart for someone that wasn't in his tribe. He had a heart for people. God loves the world. He doesn't love just the frozen chosen. And so Esther asked not only for which is so wonderful that she had the heart for other people, but think of this. The first time the king says to her, I have everything. I'm the king. You can have anything. She could have said, I've always wanted you to build me a building with swimming pools and a house she could have said, I want this thing, and he would have built her something. You know what she actually said she wanted more than anything else? Now think about it. You get one shot. You get one wish, right? You can have anything you want. And she said, King, what I want is to have a dinner with you, more time with you. Come on, when the king says you can have $1 billion and you say, I just want to be with you, that showed her heart to him. And I think after that, she could have asked for anything and everything. The Father wants to bless you, just like the king wanted to bless Esther. And here's the thing, and I know we're getting late, so this may be close to my end thing. So God will take you by surprise. Be ready at any time, because any time might be your time. The story of Queen Vanessa, who thought she was coming to a church service. She thought she was just coming to honor her God. She didn't know she was driving to a wedding. When you least expect it, you're going to wake up, and someone will shake you and say, wake up, and you'll be, where am I? Get up, because you're at a wedding. I'm at a wedding. Whose wedding? Your wedding. Your wedding. And by the way, there'll be change rooms there, so you can. Esther is, think about this. Esther, we all know and love her. She's one of the four women of the Bible that we all know. We have Mary, Ruth, Esther, and Vanessa. Why not add Vanessa? Is she any least in the kingdom of God? Why not Emmy? Why not Maribel? Why not Debbie or Irma or Kathy or Isabel or Sandra or Irma? I think I said Irma. Irma, twice. Twice, because you have a double blessing. Why not Frida, Queen Frida? Queen Wanda? Why would God think of any of these women, Janice? Why would God think of any of these women of God as being any less? And I haven't named every woman in here, so but God knows everyone. I'm going to close, so. I guess what I want to say in closing is the kingdom of God is all around you. When we were worshiping this morning, I was really into it, and I felt like that I was stepping from into heaven. I felt like I was like entering the throne room. And that is not to be super spiritual. That is to be super normal. That the presence of God, that when we worship him, he inhabits. That means he lives where the praises of his. When you worship God, the Spirit of God is there, and there's liberty. But I want to encourage you to carry God with you. If God doesn't go with us, we don't want to leave this place. And to be aware of the spiritual realm that is all around you, because God truly does want to bless you. And to be ready at any time. Be ready at any time. Vanessa just, she was just ready. It really is a picture of, the Bible said, Jesus told us over and over, be ready at all times. Be ready, don't be caught unawares. Just be ready for anything and for everything. It's exciting to be in the kingdom of God.
This will be my last part. In the story of Esther, Mordecai raised her. She was an orphan girl. She didn't know how to go in or out or what to do. She had no idea what her future would hold. In fact, I'm willing to bet she thought her future wasn't and I'm going to pray after this. I can imagine she thought, well, my future's looking pretty bleak. I'm an orphan. I've lost both my parents. But Mordecai in her life represents the Holy Spirit. He was her teacher. And in order to receive the blessing of the Lord, she had to be obedient to everything he told her to do. In order to save those people, she had to be willing to risk her very life. And, you know, sometimes we think, well, can anything good happen in my life because my present situation is not that hot? It's not that great. I don't see it happening. I'm getting older by the second. But sometimes the hard situation we're in is actually God getting us ready for the blessing. Even if we have been disobedient in the past, I'm going to use Jonah for an example. Jonah probably thought being in the smelly fish was the worst place on earth he could be, but I'm telling you it was the best place he could be because he was protected from the ocean, from the sharks, from everything, because God had prepared that fish. You cannot get around Scripture when Scripture says that God prepared the fish to swallow Jonah. Say what you want to say. God had the fish swallow him. And when I taught it, the word prepared, let me tell you, means God created that fish for the very purpose. Do you know he made that fish? You've got one job, and it's to swallow Brother Jonah and save him. And there are so many things in God's word, so many times when we are being protected and we don't know we're being protected. To take a stand actually protected Esther. Esther probably thought, I'm going to die. No, she wasn't, because her stand caused everybody else to live. But guess who else it caused to live? Her. Her. What you do for God in obedience. So maybe you're in a hard situation today, but I'm telling you that God has some good plans, and I don't want you to settle for less than God's best. I don't want you to say, this is all there is, and look at my life, and look at how hard it is for me today. Poor me, poor me, poor me. No, God has kept you this far. God has brought you this far. I don't know how old you are, but I know Vanessa for 46 years, God has kept them in their marriage. God has preserved them. He's protected them. He's blessed their children. We have more to be thankful for than we do to complain about. And we get in that trap saying, God, what's out there for me? And here's another trap we get into. Why is Frida so blessed? Why does she get all the blessings, God? You know what? That ain't my business, because God's got blessings with your name on them. He's got gifts, and they got your name on them. There ain't nobody can play a guitar like Willie and Tony, and nobody can sing like Frida and Erica. There's talents and things, so stop looking at somebody else and say, Lord, I want to be obedient to you. I want to serve you, Father, the rest of my life, and I don't know how long that's going to be, but I want to do it with all of my strength and all of my heart and all of my soul. And on that journey, God, you do bless me. You have blessed me. You're going to continue to bless me. Who am I to complain? Who am I to utter one word, as Job said? You know, God said to Job, he said, where were you? Where were you when I created the sun and the moon and I hung the stars and the oceans and I told them they can only go so far? Where were you, and who do you think you are? And Job said, silence, silence. I must shut my mouth now. I must stop it. Let's stand. Father God, we thank you, Lord. We are a blessed people, Father God. You have prepared blessings and dreams for us, Father God. Joseph wasn't the first to have a dream, and he wasn't the last, Father God. Father God, we all have dreams in our heart, but Father God, don't let us dream wrong things, Father God. You plant the seed of the dream in our heart, Father God. And I purpose in my heart, it's time to stop the complaining, Father God, about who walked out and who left and who's not here. Father God, I am so thankful for everyone in my life, for all you've done for me, for all the years you've kept me. Father God, it's 66 years you have been good to me, Father God. How dare I open my mouth, Father God, except to say anything except praise you, mighty God. Father, keep these people before us in health and give them blessing, Father God. Protect them as they go from this place, Father God. Protect them from the enemy and protect them from themselves, Father God. Father, pour out your blessing from heaven on us, Father God. Blessings that money can't buy. Father God, don't give them the Lincoln Continental and don't give them the Lexus either, Father God. Father God, give them a spirit of humility, Father God. Give them opportunities to win the lost, Father God. To lay hands on the sick, Father God. That's the kind of blessing we desire, Father God. Lord, we thank you for this day. And we honor you and you alone. In Jesus' name, we give you praise. Amen. Shana Tova, have a blessed year.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries, a Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.com. cfcjesusministries.org.